Welcome to Bravo Breakdowns, your podcast study guide for reality TV. Every Thursday, we cover an entire season of brawling, boozing, and romance, and skip all the boring parts where everyone is getting along. Whether you've never seen an episode or you're a Bravo scholar, we're here to break it down for you.
These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo Breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo Breakdown.
Of the famous fairy tale adaptations, I would say Tangled is the strongest, really.
I like the title.
Yeah.
Because it can mean a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Nuance.
Even though it probably just means her hair.
Yeah,
no, but also, there's like a tangled situation.
Yeah, it's like when you are entangled with someone, when you have that codependent relationship of, you know,
the mother.
Controlling adopted mother. And also it's kind of like a metaphor, like it seems like kind of her parents were kind of like drug addicts. Like her mom was a Rapunzel. She was like literally addicted to that lettuce, and they kept stealing it out of the witches.
Wasn't that lettuce what kept her looking like Angelina Jolie? Back when Angelina Jolie, God, I'm so old. Do you remember when Angelina Jolie went to the Oscars that one year and she was like full goth and it was like the black dress, like long sleeve, and then she had like the black wig and she won the Oscar for Girl Interrupted and made out with her brother?
Yes, and the vial of blood around her neck, her brother's blood. Oh, no, that's Billy Bob Thornton.
No, that's Billy Bob Thornton. That was a different Angelina, but no, that was crazy.
Yeah.
That she made out with her brother, and like in her acceptance speech, wasn't she like, I'm just so in love with my brother right now.
She used to be like really so like it's so crazy that she turned into like
crazy.
Now she's our Audrey Hepburn, and it's like never would have guessed.
Emaciated, or
also because she's more of like a UNICEF ambassador than like an actor.
Oh yeah.
Humanitarian.
The girlies today on Gen Z that are giving me quite the time. Actually, it's mostly like women my age that are really shitting all over me on TikTok right now. But
you know what I realized?
Know about crazy Angelina. Like when she had the tattoos, like the Billy Bob tattoo with like the fire around it, and like,
and she slept with knives under her pillow.
Yeah,
she was obsessed with knives
and like the vials of blood, and just, oh my God, what was that movie she did with Antonio Banderas? It was awful. I don't even know what it was fucking called, but it was when she was still with Billy Bob, and there was like crazy sex scenes. Basically, it was just softcore porn, whatever movie she did with Antonio Banderas. But like usually in movies, like when you have an actor with like a lot of tattoos, they will put makeup on it and cover those tattoos. They did not for a lot of these sex scenes.
And so it was just, like, wasn't it? And it was in the olden days.
Yeah, and she's, like, on top of Antonio Banderas, like, ugh, and, like, you just see, like, Billy Bob, like, coming out of her crotch, like, the name on her hip bone.
Anachronistic, if you ask me. I think it was Original Sin.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah,
which is
such
a softcore porn. It's such a Cinemax name.
Like, yeah, oh, my God, she was so... She had that something special. And
if you're a guy who jerked off to Original Sin when it was on HBO when you were a kid, DM us
on Facebook. We check our Facebook DMs
exclusively.
More than our Instagram. Yeah. DM us on Facebook if you know about Original Sin. If you remember the acceptance speech from Angelina when she said she's so in love with her brother right now. Jason, get that clip.
Also, I wanted to circle back to like all the anti-vax moms that are mad at us. I'm like realizing
Sorry about that.
I think as we're deleting comments, it's like these are like probably the trad wives and like crazy liver and like beef eater, like make your own aspirin people who
we
need to be
people.
Following them. Yeah, it's like this is actually a treasure trove of like
I
people who light up our brain.
Explain what happened, because if you just listen to our podcast and don't follow us on TikTok,
us immediately.
Yeah, right now our TikTok has very little to do with the premise of our show, but kind of. I mean, we talk about reality TV. there.
Yeah, it's more like ground zero for the anti-vax controversy.
So I posted a TikTok about Jax made a comment on his Instagram talking about that, you know, after his son Cruz was vaccinated, that he started to regress. And he doesn't know if that's what caused it, but he was meeting and all his milestones early, and then he was vaccinated, and then, you know, he had a regression, which really upset me, because Jack says a lot of things that are stupid, but I haven't talked about it on the podcast, but my daughter is autistic. Surprise, Lauren. Lauren knows.
What?
I have a daughter who is autistic, and she has been vaccinated, and there is no correlation mm-hmm. between vaccines and autism. And I posted a TikTok that was supposed to be kind of humorous, making fun of Jax. Like, okay, like, you shouldn't be taking health advice from this person, because he's also the guy who thought he had breast cancer, and it was just because he did too many steroids. And then I cut to a clip of, like, his friends touching his boob, like, making fun of him for not having breast cancer. So I was essentially saying, like, don't take, like, any health advice from this person. And boy, oh boy, did a lot of people really dislike that.
Yes. Usually it's us finding trad wives to follow, but this time the trad wives followed us.
They came. Yeah, my favorite. Yeah, and I did delete a lot of stuff because it was just, like,
me too.
I didn't want. I left stuff up that was like, I disagree with you or you're wrong. That's
when people were polite. Yeah. I was like, thank you for being polite.
Yeah. It was more like I didn't want stuff up there. Like, there were people that were like, read Jenny McCarthy's book, or like, mm-hmm. you're in denial about your kid. Like, you need to detox your kid. Like, I wasn't going to have people leaving comments.
Misinformation.
Like, misinformation. Yeah. That's like so shitty.
Dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I don't, you know, like, I will talk about a lot of horrible things, but I'm not going to be like, yeah, I'm going to leave this comment up about how you should like give your child clay baths, or let them sit in the sun for hours and hours with no sunscreen for 6 months, and then like all of their autistic traits will go away.
Yeah,
so,
that's stupid.
But remember, there was that lady that she was like, men get breast cancer. I was like, I know, but
yeah,
Jax
duh.
Did it.
Jax did it.
Yeah, and then she's like, I don't even know who Jax is. But
and it's like,
I
then get off.
What the fuck are you talking about? And then she just shit on me for vaccinating my kid.
It just shows that they are like in groups, and like, you got posted in a, you know, in a group, like we are the new, and we also have a group chat where we just send each other like women who talk to trees, and like,
and it's just and it's the, when we say group chat, it's just Lauren and I texting.
We're a group of two.
Yeah, we're texting each other while also DMing each other on Instagram at the same time.
Hey, okay, now that's something. DM us if you always are in three different social media platforms with your best friends.
With the same person.
Yeah. It's so important.
It's so important for the culture. But yeah, being controversial on TikTok and going viral, that kind of was my Angelina Jolie making out with my mm-hmm. brother moment. And you know what? I'm going to own it. And
own
I'm not
it, baby.
Own
it, baby.
Own
and
it.
Also, follow us at Bravo_breakdowns. We're developing a following of monsters,
we
and
really
you could be
are.
One of them.
Thank God for Taylor and Travis and creepy ass Teresa's weird ass overfilled husband, because that
I know. You also, so it's like you basically, you did one, bringing like the two TikToks back to back, bringing out the craziest groups,
the
anti-vaxxers and Swifties.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to get doxxed yesterday.
Rabid groups of people that you can imagine. Like, yeah, I was like back to back, baby. And we've never had more views.
Let's get into it.
Traitors.
All right. Good morning, students. It's time for the Traitors Season 2 U.S. coverage, a.k.a. House of Reality TV Heroes and Villains. This was like a star-studded cast of above-the-line reality TV personalities.
Thank God.
Thank God. Michelle, how did you like this compared to Season 1?
I liked it. So that's the difference between season one and season two for me.
Yeah,
I love
season two.
I didn't have like fits of hysteria, vomiting, There was no
couch.
Yeah, yeah, I don't need any of that stuff. I'm not laying down right now while we're recording this podcast. I was laying down because I was so upset during the last podcast.
Yes, she's able to be supine.
I'm supine today.
Okay, so let's get into the cast because there's a lot of them. So I think what we're going to do, I will list the celebrity because they're all famous reality TV celebrities. So Michelle will be familiar with a lot of them. So when I say them, you like word association, first thing that comes to your mind. And if you've got nothing, say pass and all.
Got it.
Okay. All right. So let's start with the Bravo girlies. The Bravo girlies on this season are Larsa Pippen from Real Housewives of Miami.
Predator. No. Natural Beauty.
Next up, Marcus Jordan, her boyfriend, who's also on Housewives, and Michael Jordan's son.
Entrepreneur.
Okay, love it. He's a hustler, came from nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, Tamra from Real Housewives of Orange County.
Ooh, I just love Tamra. And that's my opinion.
Yes, yes. So we have Sheree, an iconic Real Housewife of Atlanta.
I love her so much. She didn't do much during Traitors, but I love her.
She was so confused.
The spring summer? What was she? Her jumper or whatever? Remember that reunion?
She by Sheree.
Oh. Yeah.
And then we have Phaedra, another iconic Real Housewife of Atlanta and a current Married to Medicine cast member.
Something's clean in the buttermilk with her.
Yes, so clean. So fresh, so clean. And other Bravo girlies include MJ, another Shaws of Sunset cast member.
Ooh, yeah, I love MJ, but she scares me.
You're making me excited to watch Shaws of Sunset.
It's so fucked up. Oh my God, when her and Reza are on the outs, it's... I have the fucking chills. Yeah, it's
we'll
wild.
Have to cover it. Yeah.
We have to.
Yeah. Kevin, the dumb actor guy from Bling Empire.
Dumb.
Yeah. And then we have other reality competition beasts. We have Peppermint from Drag Race.
Fabulous.
Fabulous. It's fashion. CT and Johnny Bananas. They're like the greatest of all time from The Challenge.
Yeah. I didn't get to see a lot of Johnny. I did love. Yeah. CT just confused. I feel like he was confused a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. But played a great game.
Mm.
Okay, Trishelle, also from The Challenge, but not as good at it.
I only think of Trishelle. I know it's supposed to be like one word, but I only think of her when she was on The Real World and Andy Dick shows up and he's like trying to hook up with her and he's wasted. And he was like, Trishelle, and he does like a confessional in The Real World. And he said, if I come over, we'd hook up. And she's like, no, Andy. So I can't see her in any other light than when she's like cock teasing Andy Dick.
No, I do think that sums it up. Also, I don't know if you guys know this or if you've ever been to LA. Pretty much anyone who's even vacationed in LA, Andy Dick is actually a menace. And like wherever you are, he will show up drunk and try to fondle you and make out with you. Everyone has a story. So, you know, it's very sad. It's addiction, but also he's got a problem. He needs to stop groping people. And there's on camera evidence.
But great comedy mind.
Great. Oh, yeah. A genius. One of the greats. Okay. So, and then we have Sandra and Parvati, who are two Survivor winners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Parvati, super hot.
Yeah.
And she's devilish.
Yeah. A true villain. And then Sandra, my first word would be braces because she rocks adult braces.
I was gonna say that,
braces.
But yeah. I didn't want to say that. And we're not talking, like, braces on her teeth, not, like, leg braces.
Oh, no. Yeah. And honestly, because she's so, I've always thought, because in Survivor, they can't wear makeup. And she's so beautiful, even though she's not vain and looks so young. It's like, she looks like a 16-year-old.
She looks like the witch from Tangled.
Oh, I see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Dan and Janelle. From Big Brother, they are Big Brother All Stars. Dan is one. Janelle has got really
yes.
close.
Yes, I remember Dan. I don't care. Janelle. I can't
the
remember.
The babe who talked like all this shit.
Oh yeah, did she have the funny face?
Oh, I think she's gorgeous.
Okay. Well,
And then we have Max, ballroom dancer from Dancing with the Stars.
He's a hottie. I like him. I like his act. He's a hunk. You know he's he's chopped down a tree in like Eastern Europe.
Hell yeah, yeah. Maybe he's one
bear
of our,
just walked. Like a bear watched him like chop down a tree in Russia, and the bear's like,
"Yes,
whoa, that's a man. I can't do a Russian bear accent right now."
Hey, the bear like smokes a cigarette and goes back to work at the circus because even the bears work in Russia.
Yeah, they have to.
They have to. It's a hard life.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we have random reality TV people. We've got Pilot Pete from The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Who is about to make an appearance. Spoiler alert.
Excited. I'm wet.
Ekin Su from Love Island UK.
So beautiful. God.
So beautiful. And I would like to add, as Portia said, her brain is on vibrate.
And that name is so not forgettable.
No. Ekin Su. Okay, next we have Deontay Wilder, who's an amazing boxer.
And disappears.
Yep. Amazing boxer, but not cut out for reality TV. He's a good person.
Yeah, it's triggering for him.
It's no place for good people. Then we have Bergie from Love Island US.
I love him.
Yeah, he's just pure as the driven snow.
He's
just
so sweet, but then he'll be like, am I? But then
am he's
like,
I?
Yeah. But yeah, I am.
He had a great arc from being very nervous to being less nervous.
I like that.
Yeah. And then finally, last but not least, and the most random, John Bercow, former Speaker of the UK House of Commons.
Ooh, I think he could teach Meghan Markle a thing or two.
Yeah, I mean, he is a snappy dresser. He is very erudite, and
I like his the way that he speaks the Queen's English.
Yes, yes. And okay, we usually never reveal who our guest is going to be, but we will have John Bercow on as our guest at the end of the episode. So, you know, get excited for that.
Yay!
Okay, Alan's back. And let's get into the game. We have another very special guest who's going to break it down for you in case you're not familiar with the Traitors. Take it away, Pilot Pete.
Hi, Traitors Nation. I'm Pilot Pete. Welcome to Bravo Breakdown's coverage of the Traitors US Season 2. Much like when I was competing on Hannah B's season of The Bachelorette, this was a season of lies, tricks, flirting, secret sex in Europe, and betrayals. I'll tell you how the game is played because obviously I'm amazing at it. First, 20 reality TV stars sit down at a table. Then, the host taps 2 to 5 people on the shoulder. Those people will be the traitors, the bad guys. They can't let anyone know they're the traitors, like when Jeb had a secret girlfriend on The Bachelorette. The rest of us, the good people, are trying to hunt and vote out the traitors. We're called the faithful. Like me when I was faithful to Hannah B by not having a secret girlfriend. The traitors meet in secret when the faithful are sleeping and decide who to murder that night. If you're murdered, you get a letter informing you and have to leave the game and the show immediately. Kind of like if you don't get a rose on The Bachelor. The next morning, all the players will meet back for breakfast in the castle. The faithful will realize who is missing and try to figure out who those murderous bastards are who killed my friend and avenge them. The players spend the day talking about their suspicions and forming genius plans. Typically, my messiah complex blooms into full-blown delusion. Then we do a challenge to work together as a team to add money to the prize pot. In each challenge, there's also one or two hidden shields. Shields protect you from getting murdered that night so you can make it to the next episode. It's kind of like showing cleavage on The Bachelor. After the challenge, there will be a roundtable called the Banishment Ceremony. Everyone will talk and make accusations against which people you think are traitors, especially me, because I'm the leader of the faithfuls and, in my opinion, the main character. Then, it's time for each player to write down on a slate who they think is a traitor. One by one, everyone reveals their votes, and the person who gets the most votes is banished from the game, also has to immediately leave a TV show, and will no longer receive their episode day rate. But before they go, they have to reveal, are they a traitor or a faithful? When we vote out a faithful, everyone's sad and wish they'd listen to me more. when we vote out a traitor, everyone's like, yay, this is all because of you, Peter. Students, I'm sorry, but that was the final rose. I'll give you a moment to say your goodbyes to me, because it's time for Bravo Breakdown's Traitor Season 2 U.S. Recap.
Thank you, Pete. Now, thank be gone you. With you.
Away! Fly away!
Fly away, Pilot Pete.
Okay, so Alan picks out the traitors. They are Dan from Big Brother and Phaedra. So when you were watching, how did you feel about Phaedra being selected as a traitor? Were you nervous for her?
I was so excited. Phaedra is such great TV, and that mm-hmm. she was just going to be on, like, you know, because she's like a woman of God, but like, you know, she was so good in this. She knows how to make great TV, and she yes. did every single episode. She made incredible TV.
Yeah, I was nervous for her at first because generally, like, housewives, you know, below deck people, a lot of times they struggle in this game because they just do, they like don't take it seriously. Like they just do what they do, which is like cause fights, make drama. Yeah. Like that's what they're great at. But she took her role really seriously. She played so hard. And at like whenever I like said on the traitors message boards, I was worried about her. People were like, are you kidding? She's the one who lied about should we say it? Oh, she lied about Candy and
her
husband.
Illegal, like, yeah.
We don't talk about them of something they didn't do.
Yes.
And everyone's
that's
like,
why she was let go. But boy, she can eviscerate anybody and never
she
scream
does.
At them. Like that reunion with Kenya where she's like talking about like, and you're out here peddling, you know, and you won't know if your baby daddy spent, you know, $15. I mean, just, I can't even do the monologue right now, but
yeah, he was just like, you know, giving away his sperm for $15
to buy himself for a pizza box. So run and check that. It's like, whoa.
Yeah. She really, it's so fun to watch her tear everyone apart. People forget she used to be a lawyer. She's got the gift of
God. And like a funeral director. Remember that?
Yes. She's had so many jobs. Yeah.
And she looks so love lives. Fantastic. I also think Phaedra has not aged.
No, she looks also like Sandra. She's in the We Look 16 club. She's gorgeous. Her hair is always perfect. Her eyelashes, she, you know, murders.
Her outfits.
She's so fun to look at.
She knows how to have, she knows what to do to make incredible television.
Yeah. And so she meets her fellow traitor Dan in Traitor's Lair. Oops, mm-hmm. I jumped ahead. Sorry. Okay. So I do want to talk about, so after Dan and Phaedra are picked, everyone takes the blindfolds off and, Larsa immediately starts causing drama and says she has amazing hearing. And then, she actually heard Alan pick Parvati as a traitor.
Yeah.
Not true.
He's like, I heard it over here. I heard the footsteps. Like, Larsa, stop. No, you didn't. Larsa tries really hard to make a moment happen and mm-hmm. she never has.
She's such a tryhard, like
she's
and Marcus both.
God. Yeah. It's like, okay, quick sidebar, because I do these a lot. How insane was it in, like, last season of Miami, where Larsa throws the coming home party for Marcus, and he's been gone for 3 days?
Yeah. Oh, and it's clearly to just promote their podcast, which is called Separation Anxiety. Like, it was just all set up to make their podcast make sense. I'm like, ugh. She's so calculated.
And like all of her cast members are like, he didn't get back from war.
Yeah. It's like just a stupid way for people to understand why their podcast is called that. I'm just like, ugh, they're just
so dumb.
But I'm so sad they're broken up. No, I'm kidding. I don't care. Okay. So then also Tamra jumps in.
I love her.
Not to be outdone. And people start attacking elderly British politician John Pertow. Because he was breathing heavily when they were sitting next to him.
Yeah, oh my God, the asthma gate. Oh my God.
Yes, and he's like, well, I had asthma in my childhood. And they're like, well, do you have asthma now? And he's like, well, I mean, I guess kind of. He's like, do you or do you not?
Yeah, and they were like, and Tamara's like, you were running and you didn't have an inhaler. He's like, oh, heavens, what? How did you know that? And
I know she gets like, you know, this guy who spoke professionally for a living and like got people in line and just like and tears him like, a new asshole.
He was running without an inhaler. And he's like, well, because he's British, he gets to say stuff like, she's a proper cunt.
Yeah, for them, that's like saying, you know, like, good morning. Okay, so then everyone's chatting. This is so much drama so early in. There's so many accusations flying already. Trishelle gets in a fight with Peppermint, the drag queen, because Peppermint says, like, I hope I don't get murdered because I've got so much fashion to wear. And Trishelle says, me too. Oh, you're so jealous of me. Well, if I get murdered, it's Peppermint. And Peppermint looks at her like, what? Why would I be jealous of you dressing like a British child? Because that's like all of Trishelle's clothes.
She does look like a British child, like, or like an American Girl doll.
Yes, it's so Samantha, American
Girl
doll.
Oh my gosh, she's so Samantha. It's like not Samantha from Sex and the City, the exact opposite.
Yes, Victorian, like.
Like she has, not chlamydia, she has, what did they die of?
Wasting disease, like
she
rickets.
She has consumption.
Consumption. So then Trishelle goes to everyone and was like, Peppermint was so weirded out when I accused her of being a traitor. It's definitely Peppermint. So like everyone's like, pretty sure it's Peppermint.
Yeah, that's like a weird thing to do too, Trishelle. Why don't you go cock tease Andy Dick? Okay. We haven't forgotten.
Yeah, I don't wish that on anyone, but yes.
I know, sorry.
Okay, so they do a challenge, and it's a really hard challenge, but CT and Johnny Bananas, they do this shit all the time, and so they, like, just are teaching everyone what to do. They win the silver, and then the traitors meet up that night. They get to recruit a traitor and murder a faithful. So Phaedra is deferring to Dan a lot because she's like, hey, you do competitive reality games, you won Big Brother, you're the mastermind. And this is the first of many bad, stupid moves by Dan. He kills Johnny Bananas, which Phaedra's really sad about because she thinks Johnny Bananas is really fine. And also he's, you know, like the only one who knows how to do challenges besides CT. But Dan's like, no. And fun fact, Johnny Bananas is still furious about this to this day and hates Dan and talks shit about him constantly.
I love that. That's so funny.
I know. Johnny's so like petty.
I like that in a person.
Yeah, he's great TV too.
Yeah.
So she is like, whatever. She lets Dan take the lead. They murder Johnny. And then Dan, to recruit, he wants another strong woman with like a target already on her. And he recruits Parvati. And Phaedra's cool with that. Parvati accepts. And Parvati's like super, even though she's like a little nervous because she knows there's no way for her to make it far in the game either way. Like, she just had such a target on her already, but she's like, it'll just be more fun to play as a traitor.
Yeah.
And she really leans into it too.
Yeah, she really, really does.
Oh, it's so great.
Like, it's so crazy how, like, good these people are being, like, absolute sociopaths.
Yes, because it's just, they know it's a game, you know? Like,
they do, but, like, some of these people, like, they're, like, so into it.
Yes, they take, I mean, like, God, they do the same, like, even a harder game where they're, like, on an island and they don't get to eat and they, like, but, you know, are betraying people right and left, and that's like their fun job.
Nice work if you can get it. But yeah, one of the early episodes, my favorite part of the whole show is when CT, like, they're all trying to like plot and figure shit out, and CT is just like, look, like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. He's like, I don't know what's happening on this show right now. He figures it out later. He gets on the trolley later on, but in the beginning he's like, I don't know what the fuck is happening.
Yeah, like he usually like he plays a really good social game in the challenge, similar to here. Like he really lays low, but he does seem genuinely confused. Like like everyone really thinks it's Peppermint, and he even thinks it's Peppermint. And Peppermint, to be honest, is not doing a good job. Like making her case,
yeah,
like
defending herself, yeah.
She keeps accidentally saying, like, if I was a faithful, I wouldn't do that. And everyone's like, if you were a faithful, and she's like, well, you know what I mean. And they're like, yeah, it's enough.
And then, like,
you know,
one point she actually calls herself a traitor, and then she's like, I meant faithful. So it's like, then people are like, huh? Wait, are you a traitor? Yeah.
Yeah, but, and it's the beginning. There's so little to go on. It really frustrates me because I feel like, you know, well, like, because she had a big personality. And like, also, I think because of unconscious bias, she got voted out. And it always happens on the show. And it's like it's my pet peeve with it. But it happens a lot in competitive reality when you're casting, you know, like mostly white people, and mostly straight people. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so she's banished. It's really sad. But Marcus is actually like kind of good at the game, but his fatal flaw is doing too much. So he is kind of hinting to Dan that Dan doesn't say anything and he's being too quiet. And that makes him think that Dan is a traitor.
Yeah.
And of course, when Dan hears this, he is like, I'm going to kill him.
Off with your head.
Marcus, which is also a stupid move, but.
Yeah. And Marcus is like, I'm a Jordan, you know. I got winning in my blood. Although I don't think Marcus has ever won anything.
No.
His dad has.
His dad, world's best son, maybe. Parvati is the new traitor in Traitor's Tower. She also lets Dan do this stupid move, which, like, usually you don't want to kill people who suspect you and they're close to someone who also suspects you. It makes it very clear you're a traitor. But again, another dumb move by Dan, who was maybe great at Big Brother, does not understand this game.
Yeah. It's like, I don't watch Big Brother because I don't watch network TV. So
that's fair. Big Brother is hard for me to watch because the house is so, like, ugly. It seems like it was designed from hell.
They don't have natural light and stuff. Like, they never know what time it really is, right?
Yeah. It's like really a fluorescent nightmare, and it's like all the challenges seem written by AI. It's just all bizarre, but I am addicted to, you know, watching people betray each other, so I've seen a bit.
I would watch the British version because they have celebrities on there, so I would watch like Celebrity Big Brother though.
Oh, they have American Celebrity Big Brother too. It's okay.
The Brits do it better.
The Brits do it better. Cynthia Bailey was on Celebrity Big Brother. She was very confused.
She's like a CT type. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Okay, so the next day, Marcus is dead. Larsa is very dramatic. God. Like a real widow.
Yeah, and Alan hands her his picture. And he's like, here's the picture of your dead beloved, Larsa. She's like, I don't know why anybody would murder him. And then she gets like people like, did you kill him? She's like, why would he kill him? I love him.
She's doing like Michael Jordan tears meme, basically.
Except Larsa can't move her face.
Yeah. Just like tears streaming out of
the side of her eyes.
Yeah. Okay, and then Max, even though he's really hot, he's giving very Russian spy and just lurking. He's so mad Peppermint is gone.
Yeah, but then he's like, this is my strategy. I cannot do a Russian accent, Lauren. You have to do it. But he's like, this is my strategy. I'm just going to go from room to room and like listen in on people so they know that I'm not a traitor. And it's like, this is a very strange way to prove that you are faithful by like not seeming loyal to anybody.
Yeah. Okay. Here's my Max.
Okay.
I'm Max. I don't want to get voted out, but I am.
You're Dracula.
Okay. Well, anyway, he gets voted out.
Okay.
So, the traitors have a special challenge this night. They have to do a murder in plain sight by having one of the reality stars drink out of a rusty prop goblet.
Hilarious.
Just in front of everyone, you know, in the night. And so Dan is, of course, too pussy.
Yep.
Phaedra is playing a really low-key game.
Yep. Yep.
And Parvati is, of course, like, she has, like, you know, told everyone she came into this game to make really great TV. More than like really, you know, trying to win and be on the down low. So she's like, fuck it, I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm like a black widow spider looking for my prey.
Yeah.
She's really milking it.
I know. And she's like, here's my rusty glass. Billy Bob Thornton used to drink Angelina Jolie's blood from this goblet.
She is giving Angelina in a big way.
Oh.
And like, so the traitors have decided they want MJ to go home. Phaedra's really trying to protect the housewives. She will not let anyone touch Sheree. She wants to protect her clique and her friends. And
all the people who are W2, as we discussed last episode.
Yes. And then Parvati kind of realizes she can only get someone really drunk to drink out of the Rusty Goblet. Like, no W2 people are going to drink out of it.
Where's the 1099 fool?
So she finds Ekansu, who's pretty drunk and laughing and being like, I love you.
And she's like, oh my God, have some of my drink. And Ekansu is like, okay. I would be like, that would be weird for me. Even like, we're best friends and you were just like, handed me
here, have this.
I would be like, what? Why? I would drink it. I probably wouldn't question it.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. I'm an indiscriminate eater, you know, like the dogs who eat their own poop. Like, I eat out of garbage.
I can attest to this because when I went over to Lauren's house one time, like I dropped my purse or something, and I always keep like snacks for my daughter, my 3-year-old's daughter. And like I had a bag of what was it, Teddy Grahams that was open, and some of the Teddy Grahams fell on the floor. And Lauren was eating them off the floor.
Hey, I mean, they were in the bag at first.
Yeah, they were.
Okay.
I love you, kid.
So the next day, no one is murdered. So everyone's like, what? Except Deontay is missing because he was triggered.
Yeah, he's just like, this is like, yeah, the last scene you see of him is just he's sobbing and he's like, this is too much. It's too much.
Yeah. The game mentally broke him. It is like a game that's really hard on people's psyches, like all it's the paranoia.
Yeah, and it's hard to watch when people are not good at TV.
Yes, it really, yeah, it was hard on your psyche when you had to watch season one. You were like Deontay in that moment.
I am accustomed to a certain lifestyle when I watch reality TV. And when I see amateurs, it's a no. It's a no for me.
It breaks you. Yeah. Okay, so then Alan announces someone was actually murdered in plain sight yesterday. So someone is dead walking among them.
Yeah.
And everyone tries to figure out what happened, but they don't. Yeah, because they know that, it on Parvati.
Yeah, Alan says, like, someone was poisoned. And then automatically everyone thinks, like, it was food, not something that they drink. So everyone's like, I ate yesterday. Did you eat yesterday? It's like, yes. They're all trying to figure out.
Yeah. They're all freaking out. Yeah. They can't put it together. And it's great because I really didn't want this to backfire on Parvati for her being the one brave enough to do it. And
yeah,
because
she did it really, really brazenly, literally in front of everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. She just has balls of steel.
I like that. Yeah.
So then they do a funeral procession challenge where one by one they
up.
This is crazy. It's very like dark.
Yeah, I want the. You should do this for your wedding when you walk down the aisle.
And like everyone, so one by one, people are eliminated, and the last two people have to get married, and it's me and Cam.
Yeah, and at the end, we're all laying in coffins.
And there's a lot of like casting call extras loudly like keening and singing.
Oh
like,
my god! Yeah.
I'll pay for that.
Let's do it.
So it's funny because like one by one, they're like, okay, if this is you, you didn't get murdered, and they're like, okay, all the people born in like 1976, and it's like Larsa, Sandra, and MJ or
they're
something.
Like,
and
I don't want to say that, but you know,
and Sandra is like shocked.
Yeah,
that she,
her and Larsa. Yeah,
Larsa.
Like, I thought Larsa was like 20 years older than me.
That her original head, like, her new head is probably 20 years old.
Oh my
but
god,
her old head.
What was that? What was that movie? Return to Oz. You know what I'm talking about? The Hall of Heads.
No,
you never saw Return to Oz with like the vacuum clean. It was a really fucked up movie. Like. Dorothy goes back to Oz, like she finds a magic key from a comet, and this woman like kind of kidnaps her and is missing a head. So she's just got a haul of like famous fairy tale girls' heads, like Little Bo Peep and shit.
Oh god.
And she just puts on a new head all the time.
Larsa's
old head.
Man.
I cannot believe you've never seen that. I had to watch that all the time as a kid and I really don't know why.
Why did you have to? For school?
Yeah, I mean, it was that or read a book.
Yeah, okay, then you did have to.
Yeah, I have to.
There was no alternative.
I can't.
Anyway, so the much like kids' movies in the 90s, this is a very disturbing challenge. People are eliminated one by one. They're safe when they have a question answered about them. They get on the buggy, and the only people who are left at the end are the buggy. Just trotting along.
Lauren played the Oregon Trail before she got on the podcast.
They were on a buggy, a horse and buggy.
I don't know. I just called it a carriage.
Or carriage, yeah.
A buggy.
So then the people who might die of cholera, Oregon Trail callback. Are Parvati and MJ. And Ek and Sue. So they lie in graves, and the faithful put the rose on the people who they or the person they think is poisoned. So everybody puts it on MJ's grave. Everyone thinks it was MJ. It was supposed to be MJ, but it actually is Ek and Sue. So they get no silver for guessing wrong, and Ek and Sue tearfully leaves, and chaos descends on the house. Everyone is like, what the fuck is going on? Like,
well, also just, I mean, I feel like the chaos is warranted just because, like, psychologically.
Oh, well, yeah, what
challenge just, like, went through. I mean, like, literally, like, there's the three women laying in a coffin. Everyone threw black roses on MJ.
Yeah.
Wild shit.
Mourned their death. Oh my gosh, spoiler alert, but wait till UK season 2 where there's a son and a mom who have to do this challenge and the mom is in the grave. I was like, this is kind of,
oh my god, is that like one of those weird porns? I won't watch that.
Oh god, no. Although that's the one thing that would make the Traitors a little spicier is if we saw some on camera.
It's not legal in Texas to watch anymore, so.
That's so annoying. There's only one.
Crazy.
There's only one site you can go to now.
Ugh.
And DM us for the link. Okay, so
it's Facebook.
Oh yeah, Twitter too. But there's another one if you wanna DM us. Okay, so Larsa was like really on Dan because she knew it was Dan. Like, you know, Marcus suspected him. She told him, but now she's like in a panic and she's the leader of the housewives.
No, I can't handle her in this because she's. Was this when she was like, okay, obviously it's a macho alpha male who is doing this. And then it's like, and then she's like, it's Dan. Number one, she's right. It is Dan. But number two, there's nothing macho or like alpha male about him at all. But she's just going around the house, like screaming, like, it's a macho man. It's an alpha male. It's like, Larsa, like, shut up. You're annoying everybody.
This is when you texted me and said, what is she talking about?
Yeah, what is she talking about? Like, it's an alpha. She's like, can't you tell that, like, this type of, like, murder and, like, this type of deception, like, only a man, only a manly man, only an alpha male would do something like this. It's like, what?
And the frustrating thing is like, she was right, but she was doing too much. Like, Dan was eliminating Johnny. Johnny thinks it's because he was threatened by him. He was eliminating too many guys because, like, we know the traitor is going to, like, one of them, it's going to be a guy. Like, there's going to be one guy traitor.
Yeah.
His strategy was so bad, she was kind of onto him, but then she flipped out. She accused CT. And then, so then everybody goes after her because CT's a hot cloud daddy and, you know, everybody wants to bang him.
Yeah.
And Larsa gets voted off for just, like,
being
shooting herself in the foot. It's so funny. Like, this is what I really love about the season is everybody's fatal flaw, like, as reality TV characters is their downfall. Like, every single person. It's so poetic.
Because you can't, it's hard, I mean, it's just, like, hard to mix this many reality stars from, like, so many different walks of reality TV.
Yeah, I think they do a great job, and that's how it plays out so well. Is,
and then
first of all, everyone's
John.
Really trying.
Like, what is he, why is like John?
John.
And then there's John.
Like, and then,
like,
there's John.
There's John being yelled at by Tamara, accusing him of not having asthma. I mean, this is art. Okay.
Yeah, it's high art. And it's just great to watch all these professionals work and, like, you know,
really, like, do their craft at the highest level.
Yeah.
I mean, Archie Bunker never could deliver like this.
Oh, no. Parvati's headband should be in the Smithsonian instead
of Archie
Bunker's. Archie
Bunker's chair in the Smithsonian.
Chair.
And DM us if you get that reference. Thank you.
Yeah. So
Smithsonian, Archie Bunker, or just chair. If you know any of those
words,
yeah, let us know.
So the traitors talk about Dan and Parvati before they get to the tower, talk about what a low key game Phaedra is playing, how no one would ever suspect her. Yeah. And she's protecting all the housewives.
Yeah.
So they're like, we have to get some suspicion on her. And they convince her to finally murder one of the housewives. She gives up probably the most evil one, which is Tamra.
Yeah.
And Tamra gives a tearful goodbye.
She always does.
She always does. The next day, Janelle from Big Brother gives a great confessional as usual. She's very, like, bitchy in these confessionals. She tells it like it is. She's like, here are the people. Here are the cliques. There's the gamers. That's the people with the competitive reality TV background. CT, her, Parvati, Sandra. There's the housewives, Phaedra, Sheree, MJ, Tamra, RIP. And then there's, like, the faithful people. And that's the important clique, which is people who everyone thinks are faithful. And that's Peter, Trishelle, John, and Kevin, and Berkey.
Yeah, I really don't like these people.
The faithful people are so funny how they, like, usually you kind of root for smart faithful.
Yeah.
But they are so do-gooders.
Yeah, that it's like, Peter's like, the leader of the pack. Like, no, this is a no for me.
Yeah, and it was a no from viewers. People found it very annoying how, like, earnest they were. And, you know, how can you not root for Phaedra and Parvati? Like, oh, come on. God.
I live with a person who really loves Peter.
Cam liked Peter, too.
Like, Jason Stott. Oh, my God.
But we'll are so grateful for Peter coming on the podcast.
Yes, thank you, Peter.
And now we're going to trash him. Anyway, so Janelle knows Dan from Big Brother. They've played Big Brother together. Yeah. And so she knows he's a traitor. She's known from the beginning. He's playing so weird. Kind of everybody knows, but the gamers are protecting him. Because it's honestly good to protect a traitor because then they won't murder you. Like, and Dan and Janelle are good friends. They're probably each other's, like, number one. And number one in reality TV means, like, it's kind of like, I want a final two with you. You're the person I'll protect at all costs. Everyone's totally onto him. They'll ask him, they'll be like, so who do you think is a traitor? He refuses to say anyone because that worked for him in Big Brother. It does not work in this game.
No, and you gotta name names. Yeah. Cause people are like, okay, if you're not talking about anybody or, like, saying who you think's a traitor, then you're probably the traitor. And because that happens with Dan, that happens with Phaedra.
Exactly. Like, it makes it very like everyone is, the faithful are so paranoid that, like, if you're not paranoid, you're not a faithful.
Yeah.
Also he only talks to Parvati, which is making her look even more guilty, even though people have thought she's traitor from the beginning.
Yeah.
People kind of go after Janelle that night. It really looks like it's going to be Dan, but they start to, like, push on her a little, and then she flips out and blows up her game. She's like, I think it's Dan, but also I think it's Sandra and I think it's CT, who were, like, in her alliance.
Yeah, like, she's, like, having, like, a full meltdown. Like, she's, like, having a full breakdown. Like, everyone's against me. Like, and everyone, everyone's a traitor. It's all of these people. It's like, whoa.
And then to add to the chaos, they just drop in Kate Chastain out of nowhere at the round table.
And she still doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, she's still like, oh, God, what's going on? Okay, yeah, whatever, Janelle.
Yeah, she's like, Andy, I'll cash the check.
Yeah. Sandra and Janelle have, like, an epic showdown. I want to pull audio here if we can. She's like, oh, you're drinking water, Sandra. Are you thirsty? And she's like, no, my mouth is dry. She's like, I think you're fucking water, traitor. He's like, you're a traitor. You're a fucking traitor. So so good. Epic bitch fight. That's why I love reality TV, or, like, these stars, because you don't really see people saying you're a fucking traitor on, like, the regular people's
system. I know. Well, yeah. I mean, I could think of some Housewives episodes that kind of went that way, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely more of a Housewives quote than a traitor's regular people quote. Yeah, very the same delivery as just, oh my God,
we gotta get Kim on traitors.
I don't think she could handle it.
Okay. We got to. For me, she has to.
I mean, I would worry she would fully Deonte. It would remind her of her child star past.
Oh, yeah. She's fine.
Making
she's
chicken
fine.
Salad.
Oh, like my crazy. God. Oh, God. Yeah.
Okay, so during this madness, Parvati slyly slides in that she thinks production would have picked a housewife, and the housewives all have like a production or like a performance backgrounds. And Phaedra is furious. She goes really hard against her. She's like, "We're not performing; it's our lives," which like they are performing their lives.
Yes.
And so that night in Traitor's Tower, Phaedra rakes her over the coals.
Oh, she says, she's so good at the takedowns, and she can make you feel so small. Ooh,
yeah, she says,
it.
Don't pull that shit. Play fair with me, Parvati. I've been playing really fair with you. Nobody likes you, Parvati.
Yeah,
everyone
when she
thinks
says that,
you're a
fucking
traitor.
She's like, nobody likes you. I was like, oh my God.
I know. But you know, the thing is, like, if you watch Parvati Survivor seasons, everyone fucking hates her the whole time. And she just took it. And it used to, like, you know, she was in her 20s for most of Survivor. And it actually used to, like, wear really heavy on her that she was the villain. But this time she, like, leaned into it and she was like, I don't give a fuck. And now she teaches classes to, like, people about how to, like, you know, be a villain in your own life and, like, not care what people think of you. So it's a great arc for her to really lean into.
We should go to one of those seminars.
I would honestly love that because I have the hots for her. Okay, so Janelle is voted out. She's a faithful. Now everyone knows it's Dan. Berkey and Peter are like, it is Dan at the round table. Like they know
Dan
it's him.
Dan goes fucking wild at the round table.
Oh no, first he falls into the stupidest trap.
Oh
ever.
Yeah, the trap. The trap. So okay, you know it's a bad trap when Peter's planned it out.
Exactly. It's like they're like the Hardy Boys.
This is the fucking mastermind here. Yeah, they are the Hardy Boys.
That was frustrating.
Ugh.
Yeah, that Dan got outgamed by Peter, Dan the supposed mastermind. Okay, so Dan, like, so they pretty much know it's Dan. They're like, maybe it's Parvati and CT. They'd be great choices. So Berkey got the shield in one of the challenges. The shield protects you from murder. Peter told CT, Dan, and Parvati that Peter had the shield.
Uh-oh.
So they're like, okay, so if they try to kill Berkey, he'll still live. He'll go to breakfast. He was the one going the hardest after, like, these people at the round table. So if they try to kill him and don't, we'll know it's one of these three people.
Mm-hmm.
And friggin' Dan,
ugh,
who also has been giving the most smug confessionals and clearly thinks that, like, he's a way better player than Phaedra, like, wants to take Parvati to the end. He's like,
and you know what? And Dan thinks he's more entertaining than he is.
Yes, he's so dry.
He's
like,
so
it looks
dry.
Like when he gives a talking head, it seems like he's reading from a teleprompter.
He's so,
like,
ugh, I don't enjoy watching him.
No, I hated his performance on this season. So he's just like not in his own world. He's like, he doesn't understand anything. He thinks he's killing it while everyone around him is like, you're a fucking traitor. Drink your water, traitor.
Yeah, drink your water, like, you stupid traitor. Nobody likes you.
So he pushes Parvati and Phaedra against their will to, like, I can't believe they let him, like, to murder Berkey, which is stupid because it's like, that makes, even if Berkey didn't have the shield, like, it's obvious because he was going after you at the round table. It's obvious it's you. Like, also, Parvati is like, knows that it's a trap. She's pulled traps like that herself in Survivor. And Phaedra loves her Burgalicious. She doesn't want him
she
gone.
She loves her Burgalicious. Yes.
But, like, the editing makes it seem like it was kind of a, like, they made a deal with him where they're like, okay, Dan, like, we'll do your dumbass thing, but, like, you have to be a better traitor. Like, you are not talking,
yeah,
you're not,
like,
giving
you
names.
You need to, like, sing for your supper. Like, you need to do the song and dance now, Dan. Like, we need you to be more like Eddie Cantor.
Yes.
There.
Yes.
And now we said it.
Yes. And we'll be the Debbie Fisher to your Eddie Cantor and work with you if you...
DM us if you know these people. Eddie Cantor was not on US season 2 of Traitors.
No, I wish.
Unfortunately. He'd be so good.
He'd be great. Plenty of song and dance. He's a song and dance man. So he's like, okay, whatever. I'll be normal. We've got to kill Burgalicious. They do it. By the way, this is the only time I've seen, like, so many seasons of Traitors, even the ones not in English. And this is the first time
I've seen... You're so insane for this, Lauren. Like, I can't believe, like, how far we have to go into Traitors for you.
Well, we don't have to, like, you know, watch Dutch Traitors on VPN. I was going through a dark time when my...
Like, and now you've looped me into it, into the madness and the darkness.
But there are many others like me.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is great.
I know, but we're both in that subreddit.
Yeah. This is the first time I've seen traitors like have to confront another traitor about how badly they're playing. And it's from Dan, who thinks he's like this traitor mastermind.
No, but it's really like when an actor gives another actor notes on like their performance is what's happening.
Yeah, it's
here.
Also that. It's also that like as reality, they're like, also as a reality TV character, you suck. It's like as a gamer and player and performer,
like,
you are giving
nothing. You need to be making television as well. Like, Peter the pilot should not be a mastermind on this fucking show.
Yes. It's like Dan was such a disappointment on all counts. And Phaedra really rips into him for that later. So they try to kill Bergie. Obviously, it doesn't work. He has the shield. It deflects the murder. It all works out exactly like smug Peter thinks it did. And Peter and the faithful posse, they watch CT, Parvati, and Dan's faces when Bergie walks in. And then, clearly Parvati and Dan are shaken because they know how bad this looks for them. And then Peter's like, I only told you three. Did I not tell you? And then Parvati and Dan are like still shaken by it, like, because he did tell them. It looks really bad. They fell into the trap and CT is fine.
Yeah.
So they're like, they are pretty sure CT is a faithful and is Parvati and Dan. So
and then Parvati
Peter's like,
do the most.
Yep. So Parvati threatens. I love it. She doesn't make a deal with him. She's like, she threatens him. And she's like, you know, your little faithful group, this kind of looks like an alliance. And you don't have the numbers to run the game and vote the way you want. Because in competitive reality, you need a majority to be able to vote out everyone you want. So she's like, this does not look good for you. Because she's the true mastermind, even though it seems like he's got her by the pussy. Mm-hmm. She's got him by the balls, too. But he's pissed off. He's like, whatever, we're still going to vote you out tonight. But Dan has a plan.
Finally.
He says he's got this brilliant plan. And it's clearly like the plan should be throw Parvati under the bus. Like, she's fucked. Like, they're already going to vote for her tonight. Like, or even just be like, stay quiet and let them go after her. But no, he finally graces us with his thoughts at the round table. He's like, I'd like to start. I've been watching someone this whole time, quietly, brilliantly. I'm very sure this person is a traitor. It's Phaedra, who no one has suspected. Like, he's got, and also he has nothing on her. He's like, it's because she was quiet at the round table. She voted for Ekin Su, who was innocent. She was sad about Marcus going home and comforted Larsa. And then every day at breakfast, when someone's murdered, she always says a colorful expression like, oh, sweet baby Jesus, not Ekin Su, not my Burgalicious. And this is when Kate finally can't take the bullshit anymore.
She's
and
like,
cuts him off.
Yeah, it's like, okay, like, this is not like the movie Charade. Like, you're not.
Yeah,
this is not a great reveal, but
and these are like you're playing with smarter people than Big Brother players.
I
like,
know.
She's like Burgalicious was suspicious to you. Like,
yeah,
do you think
like,
we're
giving my
do you
friend
think we're 1099?
Yeah. And then she's like, oh, you suspected me because after Marcus died, I gave Larsa a hug because her boyfriend was dead.
I know. Yeah, she's like, she's a housewife. I have to protect my fellow housewife.
Just like this is just like basic like human decency. Like what you do when you're not a psychopath.
Yes.
Even though she kind like, of
a little bit. But and Phaedra, she like cross-examines him, like totally lawyers him, and he's sputtering and he's like, well, what about the breakfast comments?
Yeah, now it's really all starting to unravel for Dan, thank God. You know, him sputtering and falling apart is the most interesting work he did on the show.
Yes, at least it was like, and again, it was like his downfall was him being so cocky, being so built up by the Big Brother fandom that he couldn't even understand what a good game Phaedra was playing and how much she outclassed him and how, as she said, she does too much because he does too little.
Ooh, classic Phaedra.
And they vote him out. I do have to say this one Reddit comment that made me laugh so hard afterwards, where it said, because he kept saying, what about Burgalicious? What about Burgalicious? Burgalicious definition, make that dango loco.
Oh, God.
That's so good. Shout out to whoever posted that. So he's voted out. He reveals he's a traitor. Everyone's like, no shit.
Bye,
and
bitch.
They're coming for Parvati. The Peter pals
We're
are coming
all
for Parvati.
Coming for Parvati.
Yeah, me too. Right now, even.
That's how I. Oh. Yeah. DM us if you want more of our sex sounds.
Yeah.
Because we don't have porn in Texas anymore. So this is what you got, folks.
Yep. Our bird orgasms. So Trishelle realizes Dan basically just told them Phaedra's a traitor too, like completely blew up her game, because it's like, well, he was a traitor. Clearly he knows who the other traitor is. He was trying to give up a traitor because he knew they wanted a traitor. It's like, clearly Phaedra's a traitor. And so this is why this was like one of the most controversial moves in traitor's history, because it's like, if it's almost unsportsmanlike, it's like, he so clearly was a traitor, and he's basically telling them who the traitor is. But I don't think it's against the rules, because he is just such a dumbass, and he was so cocky. He really thought it was going to work. But still, it was shitty. Phaedra still hasn't forgiven him. She calls him a piece of shit to this day.
Yeah. Like,
it was very, very frustrating. What do you think? Do you think it was unsportsmanlike, or just Dan being a doofus?
I mean, I think he was just trying to give a moment and make TV, and it sort of worked, but it was like too little too late. I mean,
yeah. And just too dumb. Like,
I'm shocked he was even chosen as a traitor.
Yeah, well, he's lauded as this genius. There's still people who like defend him and were like, he made a few mistakes, but it's like he's one of the worst traitors of all time.
Yeah.
So Parvati and Phaedra are like, they meet up in Traitor's Tower, and it's like, oh, thank God, this is all I wanted to see. Just like girl power, like the two of them together. They're pretty fucked from Dan, both of them. Mm-hmm. But like Phaedra says, you're in the ICU. I'm walking to the hospital. You get to make the moves here.
Yeah.
And Parvati's like, she's thinking, what would be the best TV? And she's like, they have the option to recruit or murder. And she's like, let's recruit Peter. Like, that would be awesome to see, like, the most faithful, you know, she keeps saying blue-blooded faithful, even though she means, like, bloodhound.
Yeah, she doesn't really know what blue-blooded means.
Yeah, no. No one here is blue-blooded. Yeah. Maybe John Bercow.
He's giving, like, Eliza Doolittle, honestly.
She's like, what? And Phaedra is Eliza do too much. Phaedra thinks he'll say no, but she's like, all right, let's do it. Let's make good TV. Let's go for it. And she says, her delivery on this is so funny, we'll be a murdering trio. So iconic. And so then they send Peter the letter. Of course he says no, just so fucking
obnoxious.
Oh
my God. And I told you what happened in my own home when Jason and I were watching this, because he will pretend that he doesn't want to watch reality. Well, he doesn't really pretend anymore. He watches all reality TV with me. And sorry, yeah. I'm still getting over a cold. But I was in the bathroom taking a shit, and he was watching Traitors, and he runs into the bathroom, and he's like, babe. I was like, what? Like, something happened. And he was like, Peter stayed a faithful. I was like, get out of here. I was like, that's so disgusting, Jason. Not the fact that you're in here while I'm shitting. I don't care about that.
But you're proud of him for being
proud
such a nerd.
Of Peter.
Mark.
He's like, he's such a good guy. He's like, he's a faithful till the end. And I was like, please leave.
Ugh. Yeah. Well, production thought the same thing, too. They pull a few dumb moves to really protect him, because Peter rustles up his Peter pals the next day to have a chat, like, we're voting Parvati, and then they're being, like, really clicky, even though they don't have the numbers.
They kick people out of their clique. Like, when MJ shows up, she's like, they're all talking, and MJ comes in the room, and then she's like, should I leave? They're like, yeah.
And she, like, picks up her cargo pants and kind of shuffles backwards.
Oh, my God, yeah. Jason was like, why is she, like, walking around a castle wearing cargo pants and heels? And it's like, I was like, don't even talk to me like that. You've never seen Shaws of Sunset. You don't know how MJ operates. But yes, this is dumb for even her.
See, that's the difference between us and straight guys is I would run into you taking a shit in the bathroom saying, Michelle, MJ just shuffled backwards in her cargo pants after
and I would be like, thank you for telling me. Like when I interrupted your father-in-law's funeral, it's like I was doing you a service.
Yes, exactly. It was important. Okay, so all of the leftovers, which is most of the house, the majority, meet up in the billiards room. And the gamers try to teach the faithful about alliances, which is really funny. Sandra is teaching Sheree and MJ using pool balls.
This is how you be nice to people. They will be your friend and trust you.
Yeah, they're like, Peter's group are the stripes, so there's five of the stripes, right? And we are the solids, and there's more of us. So if they're going to try to, like, pick us off one by one, we have to band together. And then hopefully one of them will be a traitor. It doesn't really matter, though, because if we have the numbers, we're all protected. And Sheree's like, interesting.
Yeah, and this is, like, the first time you've heard Sheree speak this entire show.
Yes, she has not gotten a talking head.
But,
like,
oh, my God, like, how good does her skin look in this?
She's beautiful, dude.
Stunning.
Glowing.
Ugh.
Yeah. And she's about to have her big moment where she finally wins a challenge. So it's a good episode for her. And yeah, what Sandra knows is it's better to befriend a traitor and have your traitor in your alliance and just vote out the other group. And also, I think that is how the game will evolve eventually. Like, in a few seasons, it will be alliances at the beginning, because the first few times you're not going to vote out a traitor your first time. You don't have anything to go on. It's more smart to have alliances and groups, but production does not want this to happen. They want it to be paranoia the whole time, traitor hunting.
Yeah.
So they pull a stunt also to protect Peter because they think he's like the protagonist, like Jason. So there is a emergency challenge after. Or a second challenge in the graveyard, which is very suspicious. I don't know. Do you think production threw this in to keep Peter longer and put off the alliance voting, or both?
Probably,
or do you think it was already
planned?
Because
they were like, oh my God, this guy is like faithful till the end. Like, let's give him a special little treat.
Yeah, which is protecting him from murder. There at the graveyard, Sheree, because she's got the shield, she gets to,
you
like,
know what? I just figured out why I don't like Peter. And it's not because my husband, like, he's so proud of himself.
He's smug. Yeah. He's always got that grin.
Ugh. I don't like it. Get out of here with that grin.
Yeah. Just shit-eating grin. So one by one, Sheree, like, protects Phaedra from murder, and then Phaedra gets to decide who she wants to protect from murder. She chooses CT because they've got kind of a flirty little thing going on. And Parvati's mad she didn't choose her. I'm like, Parvati, are you out of your mind? That would be
she
so
is.
Obvious.
She is out of her mind.
So then CT chooses John Burkow instead of Trishelle, his friend.
He
says John Burkow is very important to the faithful. And Trishelle is like a weeping mess.
She's
so upset.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you?
Yeah.
But this rift in their, you know, alliance is important for later. And then John protects Peter, of course, the leader, and then everyone who's left over can get murdered.
Yep.
This does set up a lot of storylines for the rest of the game, but it just frustrated me that they can't kill Peter. So they kill Bergy, the next best thing, because he's Peter number one. Bye-bye, Bergy. So then the next day, Peter tries to pull Parvati and Phaedra into the wine cellar to make a deal with him to, like, maybe turn on each other. Mm-hmm. Phaedra leaves. She's like, this looks really bad. And Peter tries to pull, you know, a switcheroo where he's like, okay, I know we know Parvati is a traitor, but let's vote Phaedra out first.
Yeah.
Like, how about Phaedra first? And it really weirds everyone out. They don't go for it. Everyone votes out Parvati. And even John says, she's a mistress of murder.
I did love that. Yeah.
He's got away with words.
He's seen a lot. You know, he's a politician. He had asthma as a child. You know, he's lived a life.
He knows
a mistress of murder when he sees one.
And he's right. Parvati's banished. She admits she's a traitor. It's not looking good for Phaedra, and she's got a recruit that night.
Yep.
She knows the faithful are too faithful goody-two-shoes. You know, the people in that group won't do it. So she knows she wants a Bravo bitch and someone who doesn't give a shit, so she invites Kate.
Yep.
What do you think of her decision to invite Kate?
I don't think she put a lot of thought into it.
I don't think so either.
I think that she was like, oh, Kate's done this before. Because if you notice, every time, like, the traitors meet, Phaedra's like, what should we do? Like, she never has, like, her own plan. So she's like, oh, Kate's done this before. And then Kate's like, okay.
Kate's like, wait, you just asked me to be a traitor and I've been here two episodes and you want me to tell you who to murder?
Yeah, you want me to come up with a plan? And she was like, yeah, I guess I'll be a traitor. It's like, I don't want to get murdered. So yeah, I'll be a traitor. And then she's like, you want me to come up with a plan? She's like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck, Phaedra?
Yeah, she's like, and so now, like, even though it seems like Phaedra has played, like, a really strong, low-key game
really
of, like, intentionally letting the traitors bury themselves, she really has just been, like, being a good faithful, having fun with her friends,
mm-hmm.
and, like, just, like, being herself. She's been, like, really developing great relationships,
and
which is part of the game.
Great lines.
Yeah, but she's not really a strategy girly. I love her and Kate. In the tower that they just talk shit about people and then the most
Kate's
annoying
like,
person.
Yeah, Kate's just like, can we just get rid of Kevin because he annoys me?
And and Phaedra's like, yeah, look, Kevin, he's so annoying.
Yeah, he's so annoying.
And
Kevin has to die because he gets on Kate's nerves.
He like eats too loudly.
Yeah, she's like,
so
I don't like him. He just annoys me. And then Phaedra's like, great strategy. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. And then Peter is voted out that night because everyone's still weirded out by him, like, trying to overplay his hand in the game and, like,
he's
you
like,
know, vote out Phaedra first.
The whole time you were.
The
whole time.
So then it's not looking good for Phaedra after Peter is announced as a faithful. And she, that night, she and Kate decide to kill another one of the Peter pals, which is dumb because it's like, it's so clear it's you, and killing another Peter pal makes it more obvious, but she just doesn't like them. She's mad at them and she wants them gone.
Yeah.
And she's not going to kill Trishelle because they're kind of friends.
Mm-hmm.
So they kill John Burakow. R.I.P. you magnificent bastard. and then the next day, it's like the end for Phaedra. She really needs to be fighting and, like, you know, using these relationships to manipulate people into having her stay. But she doesn't want to.
She's really tired.
She's tired, and, like, even though she was, like, one of the most dastardly housewives, like, really, it's hard to get fired for being too dastardly on Housewives, but she did. And this is a big redemption for her because she could really manipulate Sheree here and be, like, and really rally the troops, all of her new friendships, but she doesn't. She doesn't really fight. She's like, I mean, do what you gotta do.
And she's like, you know what? I've given this show so much already. I don't need to be, like, singing for my supper here.
Yes. Plus, Bergie later said on a podcast, like, she said, like, in passing, like, it's only $250,000. Like, I don't care that much.
Yeah, exactly.
And she doesn't care enough to, like, really lie to and fuck with and beg her friends. So she's voted out. Kate even votes for her, and Kate's really annoyed she gave up, which is, like, very hypocritical of Kate, who is the queen of giving up.
She really is. But she's like, maybe trying to make up for season one, which I thought she was great in season one.
She was great.
Yeah, I texted you because she just, like, really doesn't give a shit about anything. And she's just like, yeah, get rid of these people because I just don't like them. I'm like, it's so important to see yourself reflected on screen.
Yes, the apathy, the existential depression.
And just be like, oh my God, I have to, like, show up and do this thing I don't want to do. Okay, fine.
Ugh. Yeah. I love her, like, lack of serotonin and relate to it.
Yeah, I really relate to that for sure.
And she's not afraid to tell it like it is. She tells Phaedra at the round table, I'm voting for you because you played a selfish game. when she gives her vote. So then, of course, this perks up Sandra's ears because she's like, what? Why would you say that? Clearly, Kate's a traitor. Phaedra is voted out, reveals she's a traitor, but no love lost. Everyone loves her so much. She's made great friendships. Sandra even says Phaedra was her traitor angel protecting her from being eliminated. Do you feel disappointed by the way Phaedra gave up, or do you think it was like she had no other choice and it was a nice redemption?
I think it was she had no other choice. Great redemption. It was a great comeback story for Phaedra, I feel like, too.
Yeah, I agree. As a, you know, person, you know.
Yeah.
And a, you know, just showing us.
Yeah, just like remember how good I can be on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We got to watch Married to Medicine.
I know. I've never seen it. I really want to cover it. And I think a lot of people watch it, but it just doesn't get talked about like the other Bravo shows.
I wonder why. We're part of the problem. We need to watch it. Okay, so Kate is the lone traitor. She's pissed off. She decides to kill Sheree so that she can pin the murder on Sandra. Do you think this was a mistake because Sheree is like very confused and easy to manipulate? Or do you think she murdered the right person?
She murdered the right person.
Yeah,
It was time.
I agree.
It's time.
Yeah.
It was God's timing.
It was God's time with no Phaedra traitor angel to protect her.
It's God's timing. Yeah,
God's time. So final mission, helicopters and shit, the last round table before the final. It seems like everyone's going to vote Kate until Kate tells Sandra that CT and Trishelle kind of think Sandra's a traitor. So Sandra changes her vote. She goes hard after CT. She blindsides him. And then CT goes hard after Sandra. And that, again, surprises Trishelle because she's like, I thought we were going Kate. I'm confused. It's actually a great play by Kate. It's Kate's first really strategic move. And it works. Sandra's voted out. She was a faithful, but now it's clear to everyone Kate's a traitor. So it's nice that she, you know, it's redemption for her that she's like, oh, that was like actually you outgamed some like survivor and challenge people
and,
in that moment.
Yeah, and it was perfect for Kate because she didn't have to be there the whole time.
Yes, yes. Yeah, she got to just, you know, show up for a few days.
She
still got her raise.
Yeah, right? And like be like, kill this guy. Yeah, this is perfect for her.
Yeah. And it was also, well, yeah, we'll say what she says here in a minute. Mm-hmm. So they're at the Fire of Truth, the final, and so that's when the players throw their little sacks in the fire. And if they turn green, then that means they're ending the game. If it turns red, that means they're going to vote one more time on traitors. They still think there's a traitor among them. Everybody votes to keep voting because there was a murder last night.
Yep.
Like there clearly is still a traitor, but Kate votes to keep going.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much her saying, I am a traitor.
It's me.
And they vote her out. And she says the difference between this game and the last game is like this time I got to play with people I really liked.
Yeah.
Other 1099ers who were on my level.
Yeah. She's talking about like, I didn't have to be around normal people.
Yeah. And she's like, also, I would feel weird winning. Like you guys deserve it. You've been here the whole time.
Yeah.
And so then it's down to MJ, CT and Trishelle. And here's where the big surprise happens. First of all, that Alan is wearing a stupid outfit for the first time because usually his clothes are gray. And I'm like, why is he wearing that?
And also, MJ's not wearing her stupid cargo pants.
Yeah, it's weird. And Trishelle is actually wearing a good outfit.
Yeah,
everyone's fashion is very confusing.
She's not dressed like Samantha the American Girl doll with consumption.
Yeah. So something's amiss already.
Yeah.
So you think they're all going to vote like to end the game. They're all faithfuls, clearly. But no, CT votes to keep voting. And so Trishelle is shocked by this. She was like, what? MJ's shocked by this. She's like, we're all so clearly faithful. And CT's like, I only trust Trishelle. I'm only going to go to the end with her. He votes for MJ. MJ wants to create a deadlock because she really wants to go to the end together. So she votes for Trishelle, and Trishelle votes for CT, her number one in the game, because he's just been surprising her too much and she's weirded out. Because it's a tie, they have to vote again. MJ again votes for Trishelle to create the deadlock. CT votes for MJ, and Trishelle changes her vote to MJ.
Ooh.
MJ's heart is broken. She's so upset. She walks away. It's the final two, so that means it's the end of the game. They both reveal that they are faithful. They get to split the money. CT is really cute and, like, you know, throws her up on the pile of money and throws his body across it. And, you know, everyone is happy. How did you feel about the ending?
Considering what a great season it was, it felt a little anticlimactic.
acting.
Really? Really? See, I watched The Sopranos, I like that there was a surprise.
I guess because I also don't really care about Trishelle or CT. Yeah. And I know that you watched The Challenge and stuff. So I was just kind of like, about them. But I really, the show, like, this season was so good. I really loved it.
I agree. It lost a little steam after, like, Parvati left because it was so clear Fincher was a murderer. Yeah. But it was still fun. I like that there was sort of a surprise at the end. I don't love that Trishelle won. But later in the reunion, she admits, Peppermint gets to say her piece about trans activism and kind of unconscious bias. And later on Watch What Happens Live, Trishelle said she will be taking unconscious bias classes, which I think is, like, awesome. That's enough for me.
Is Parvati running that?
She's a woman of many educational
a woman of many colors classes. Well, just white, but she gets it.
But she is dating a non-binary comedian, Mae Martin.
Who is Trishelle? I thought she was married.
Nope. Parvati.
Okay, hey, good for her.
Yeah, good for them. And so, so then, the reunion is, kind of fun and funny because, like, these people know how to bring it with fashion and drama, and all of the, non-gamer people don't forgive the gamer people at all. Like, Phaedra still hates Dan, calls him a piece of shit. Do you blame her or no?
Dan is a piece of shit and he's boring TV and I don't know how he got so far in life. He's just, go away, Dan. Be gone.
Yeah. I don't know him as a person. I hated his character this season. And he apologizes. But he doesn't take enough. I don't think he takes enough responsibility for how badly he played. And then MJ doesn't forgive Trishelle and CT. Do you blame her for that? She thinks they planned it, which I think that would be really risky if they planned it because...
Yeah, I don't think that they planned it. It just really worked out, and I'm happy for them. MJ is just, you've never seen Shaws of Sunset, but she's just that way. Like, everybody's always against MJ all the time.
Yeah. And isn't it funny that that is her downfall, too? Truly everyone, like...
And the cargo pants.
And the cargo pants were the other
one. Yeah.
But iconic. So this was a great season of TV. What grade do you give it, Michelle?
Ooh, I really did like it, and I finished it quickly. I'm going to give it a B++, maybe A minus. I'll give it an A minus.
Yeah. Great TV. I think the theme of this game is like survival of the fittest, or like adapt or die. Like, the game evolved. We saw people evolve as people, as characters, and then we saw people's like weaknesses as performers and characters like being their downfall. That's I think what made it such a great work of art.
It is. I love great works of art. You know, I'm famous for liking great art. You know what great art does, though, Lauren? It changes the way you see something. And after seeing season two of Traitors, it made me feel differently about this show. Because season one was so fucking bad.
Well, good. I'm glad you turned it around because we've got
Like, Lauren is like... forcing me to watch so many Traitors season. Like, I'm watching season two of Australia. I started with season one and I liked it, but then you were like, we got to finish season two. So I'm watching season two.
Well, because
right now
we have some very special guests.
They're
we have a lot of fake comedy guests, but we have some actual Australia contestants from the Traitors. We're so excited for you guys to hear them. It's going to be great.
Yeah, so we're doing a lot of Traitors right now.
But I'm glad that now you are faithful to the Traitors, which is another Traitors podcast.
Yeah, I am liking season two of Australia Traitors. The house inside, or the hotel, or wherever the hell they're staying, it reminds me of Dorinda's house in the Berkshires.
Yes, the familiarity of Bluestone Manor.
Yeah, that felt comfortable for me.
Yeah. So this has been a long episode, but come back and we're going to have a short interview with none other than the silver-tongued politician himself, John Bercow.
Yay!
Bravo. All right, and we're back. Please welcome the former Speaker of the House of Commons, who was number three in the Peter Pals Alliance after Burkow from Love Island, U.S. Please welcome John Burkow.
Well, it is my pleasure to be here with you fine young ladies on this podcast.
Okay, John, we know you're very erudite. We do only have a little time for you, unfortunately, so if you can keep your answers short, that would be great.
Yes, I shall attempt to truncate my answers to use the minimum amount of words possible.
Okay.
Only understood like one of those words. I don't speak the Queen's English like you do, John.
So, John, what inspired you, a former British politician, to be on the Traitors US of all countries?
Well, after Brexit, submitted my retirement because I felt as though I had done all that I could do.
Okay, so we're starting in Parliament. We're starting in 2017. Can we speed up to like 2023?
Long story short, after a few delightful years of retirement, particularly spent gardening with my wife in our country home, I thought it might be fun to dip my toes into a bit of reality television stardom. And it was there that I met my two newest Italian-American compatriots, Mr. Tamborello and Miss Trishelle Canatella.
Thank you for that. But more importantly, John, my question to you is, kill, marry, fuck, Phaedra Tamra Larsa.
Well, I believe that I would marry Phaedra because her career and power is immense, and I felt that we had a certain amount of chemistry, and that's someone that I could certainly spend my life with. I would fuck Larsa, obvious reasons.
Okay.
And
obvious reasons?
Well, her attractiveness, obviously.
Oh. You like that style of woman, a rebuilt type of woman?
She is built indeed. And who was the other?
Tamra.
Yes, I would kill Tamra.
Okay. Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah, speaking of Tamra, she famously ate your ass up for saying that you claimed you have asthma, but you didn't have an inhaler. Can you clear this up once and for all? Do you have asthma or not?
Well, asthma isn't so much a diagnosis as it is a symptom. It is a constriction of the airways. And yes, I do suffer from this symptom from time to time, but not so much that it would require a prescription from my primary care physician.
Can I make a recommendation? I think the way, you are a famous speaker, but I think the way that you speak, it may be putting pressure on your airways. In fact, we can see the video and your face is red.
You're really struggling here.
Order!
Oh, God. Okay. Are you having, I'm sorry, John, were you having an asthma attack just now? Is that how British people have asthma attacks?
No, this is how we call order when things have gotten entirely out of hand, which they seem to have this instant.
Can I ask another question, John?
Please.
Would Meghan Markle be a good traitor? And do you miss Meghan in your home country?
What a delightful question, yes. The Lady Markle, is no longer living in the UK. But of course, she's back in her home continent and has brought the young prince with her. Mm-hmm. I do miss her dearly, but I don't miss the vitriol with which our press treated her.
Word.
Quite undeserved, if I do say so myself. The way that our artificially generated future queen has treated her is simply despicable.
So you're Team Meghan over Team Kate.
Without a doubt. I knew the queen for many years, and I was never a fan.
Oh, boy. Yeah, she's been for a long time. Did you like Boris Johnson?
Term limits is what I'm in favor of. Boris Johnson is exactly that. A boar and a Johnson.
Okay.
There's that Burkow wordplay. Wait, okay, so I want to circle back. You're in favor of still having a monarchy, but having term limits on the monarchy.
Yes, the king or queen should be elected by the citizens and only serve a term of 4 years at most.
Oh, my. Okay. Did you ever propose this while you were in office?
It would have gotten nowhere, I assure you. These lords like to hold on to their peerage with all of their might.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of lords, are there any politicians, British or otherwise, who you would like to see on season 3 of the US Traitors?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I've given this some thought indeed. Mm-hmm. And there is one politician out there ripe for the pickings in reality television. Paul Ryan, former vice presidential candidate.
Oh, my goodness. Romney.
He's handsome enough for reality television, and he's, you know, he's got the look for it.
Oh, oh wow.
So you think being TV ready is the number one thing a politician
needs? Paul Ryan is TV ready.
I don't want to compliment my own handsomeness, but yes.
We'll do it for you, John. You're a very handsome man.
Yes.
Please stop, I assure you.
Okay, I will.
So on the converse, are there any reality stars who you think would make great politicians? I'm not sure what reality shows you watch, but are there any that stand out to you?
Well, I've never seen a reality show except from the inside out when I was on season 2 of the U.S. Traitors
show. You don't have to say the show, John Bercow. We only have a little time. We know the show.
But of all the people who were contestants with me, there is one that did stand out who would be a remarkable politician, the pilot Peter.
Oh,
okay. What about him says good politician to you?
Well, it's his charm, of course. The way he disarms everyone around him to trust him implicitly. I knew he wasn't a traitor.
Really? Because a lot of viewers actually found him to be a bit of a fuddy-duddy, goody-two-shoes.
A little bit of a bore.
Narc.
Sounds like a politician to me.
Oh, good point. Okay, good point. Yeah.
The Sir John Bercow. Are you a sir? Are you a knight?
I have been knighted by Her Majesty some years ago, but I declined it.
Oh, oh wow. My. That's a bit rude.
Well, it was my choice, and I said, no thank you, I shall remain an ordinary citizen.
That's an important part of knighthood. It must be consensual. So, speaking of Peter, so you famously said that Parliament was way less stressful than the traitors, but your friend, the pilot Peter, said that the Bachelor is more stressful than the traitors. Ergo, the Bachelor is more stressful than Parliament. Agree or disagree?
Well, I'm not entirely familiar with the principles of The Bachelor, but my understanding is that they pit a number of young, virile men against one another in the battle for the attention of one woman.
That is The Bachelorette, but yes.
It seems that violence of this nature would be much more stressful than simply passing laws and governing a country.
You know, it isn't like a gladiator battle. It's more a battle of words, cattiness.
Really?
Much like House of Commons.
They do is go on dates, you say?
Yes. Yeah. Would you want to be the Bachelor? You know, they've started the Golden Bachelor now.
I'm afraid I must decline, as I have been happily married to my wife for some years now.
Ah, yes, your lady wife.
She was offered a ladyship, but declined.
Okay,
Is that when you knew she was the one for you, John?
So, John, you had a great run on The Traitors. Is there anything you would have, is that your little pup?
Is it a corgi?
Yes. No, I would never have such. It's a Jack Russell Possum Russell's Terrier.
Russell Possum Russell Terrier.
That sounds very British.
It's a Jack Russell's Terrier, but the British name is the Parson Russell's Terrier.
Ah,
like
good.
That.
Thank you for making the distinction. Very important in the 10 minutes you have. Okay, so is there anything you would have done differently in your run on the show?
Yes. If I could change my behavior on the season of the show, I believe I would go in a different direction and instead choose to become a traitor.
I see. Like that.
I do believe that the traitors have a distinct advantage in the game, for they know who the traitors are. And it would be with this knowledge that I would have made it much farther.
Yes, that great. Is how the game works. All right, thank you so much, John Burkow. Anything you want to plug?
The metric system, anything? Okay.
I have nothing going on at all.
Okay. I like that.
All right, follow John Burkow. Vote for shorter term limits for monarchs. Thanks so much, John.
Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
Oh, thanks again, John Burkow. What a man. What a man. What a mighty good man.
Yeah, a macho man, as Larsa would call him. An alpha male. Yes,
an alpha male.
Totally. Yeah, alpha male who's out to get us all.
So it's the end of the show, which means it's time for our oral exams, a 1-minute verbal essay on a pop culture topic of your choice. Michelle, would you like to start?
More than anything, Lauren, thank you. Thank you for giving me the floor.
I love that attitude. Very House of Commons. All right.
Oh, yes.
This is Michelle's final exam. Your time starts now.
In this exam, in this essay, I will prove that the American Girl store with the restaurant is literally like the most fucked up elitist concept you can ever imagine. I don't know if you've, do you know what I'm talking, have you been to the store where there's also the restaurant and you buy these American Girl dolls? You go there thinking you're going to have like this magical experience with your child. And it's just like a bunch of rich fucking girls running around. And you're buying like $15, like, what is it? Macaroni and cheese so your kid will eat with you. But like these American Girl dolls, Lauren, they're fucking expensive. They're like $160 and you go to the store and you can like get their hair done and everything. But it's
10 seconds.
Okay. American Girl, the company, touts itself as like, we're inclusive and we love diversity and we created these dolls to help girls learn about like American history. But the reality is there's nothing inclusive about it and only rich people can afford it. And the food is subpar.
Oh, that's so disappointing because I remember like as a kid always like thinking, really wanting to go and being like, oh, that would be so cool. And they have fashion shows and stuff. But it's good to know, you know,
let's go.
Didn't miss out on anything.
I've done it. Okay. Before. Yeah. But I think it is really it is expensive. And like not everybody
we'll bring our own food.
Yeah. Not everybody can afford these fucking dolls.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why Barbie was made affordable.
Yeah. But she's kind of slutty. The American Girl dolls are like not, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now I think they have boys too.
Oh, that's gender inclusive. All right. So it's time for my oral exam. I'm going to harken back to what we talked about at the beginning of the podcast. My time starts now. So I am in this essay, I will prove that Teresa. OK, I feel like everyone is way too hard on Jersey and Teresa. I mean, I don't know. Like, I haven't seen all of it. Like, I haven't seen season 12. But having rewatched seasons like 8 through 13, all I can compare it to is Beverly Hills, because like Kyle is a lot like the Teresa. She's the central character, the glue. Da, da, da. Teresa gives us so much mess. She is willing to look bad all the time. She like let them record her coming back from jail, her husband in ICE, her husband calling her a fucking bitch, admitting he cheated. Like Kyle never let us see any of that. She has to control everything. When she sees her, like when we see her sisters, it's her making them look bad. Whereas the Gorgas, it's always about them making Teresa look bad, and they don't give us any storylines. They're like fake storylines. Like what? Like I'm gonna have a baby. She really wasn't. It was bullshit. I'm Team Trey just because she gives better TV. I don't care if she's fucked up or annoying or wrong or whatever. At least she's giving it to us.
So good. I love her. Oh, God. Do you remember the season where she's like...
How can you not appreciate?
I so do. She's working on her cookbook, Skinny Italian.
Skinny Italian?
Like, yeah, Skinny Italian. I did not send you that book. I did send you A Cop Without a Badge, but... She's like working on the recipes with like actual people who cook. And she's like, yeah. And I hate, you know, she's like, I hate working with all those weird ingredients. Like, what is that ingredient in Mexican food? Cumin? I hate that stuff.
Cumin.
She's so good. You know what I did with her cookies? I threw them in the trash. I hate sprinkle cookies. You know what cookies I like? Pignoli cookies. I love her.
I love her.
You know what?
Teresa changed the whole franchise, not just her show.
She did.
But like the Housewives franchise. When she flipped
she
that
table.
She
made it true crime.
Yeah.
Oh, and she made it that more. Table,
That she made it. She made it nice. She did.
She made it nice, baby. And she make it nice it. For us. Follow us at Bravo_breakdowns on Instagram and TikTok. Definitely check out our TikTok. Email us if you want an oral exam read on the air, bravobreakdowns@gmail.com. And keep listening for all of our Traitors coverage. Real guests, real contestants, real famous people coming up. Stick with us. Stay faithful. I'm Lauren, and I'm a traitor.
And I'm Michelle, and I'm CT, actually, and I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo.